Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jerry Arnold. I'm your moderator today for the session titled Analyzing Large Public Health Databases. The session is sponsored by the Statistics Section at APHA, and if you're not members, I hope you will be. A plug for our group. Today we have three interesting presentations. Our first presentation today is a nationally representative data from the National Survey of Ambulatory Surgery on Colonoscopy by Dr. Margaret Hall. Dr. Hall is a health statistician with the Division of Healthcare Statistics, National Center of Health Statistics, and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Hall.
Hi, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Alexander Schwartzman. So the title of the presentation is Data on Colonoscopy from the 1996 and the 2006 National Survey of Ambulatory Surgery. No relationships to disclose. It's going the wrong direction. So according to the National Cancer Institute, colorectal cancer, CRC, is the third most common cancer and the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States. Every year, 150,000 people are newly diagnosed with CRC, and 50,000 people die. An effective way to screen for CRC is to identify polyps, which, though initially harmless, have been shown to develop at times into colorectal cancer. If the polyps are cancerous, CRC can be cured if it's diagnosed early. Removal of polyps is frequently recommended, and more frequent follow-up is advised when the polyps have been found. And data has shown that screening lowers the CRC incidence and mortality. Colonoscopy isn't the only test for CRC, but it is one of the most commonly used. And because of the need for specialized equipment and anesthesia, they generally perform colonoscopies in ambulatory or outpatient surgery settings rather than in regular physician's offices. Sometimes the physician office gets certified as an ambulatory surgery center. Data on utilization of colonoscopies in ambulatory surgery facilities over time is a valuable tool to tell us the number of tests and the characteristics of patients receiving them. But I do have to say right off that we are not sure how many are due to screening, and the reason for that is probably a reason that you frequently encounter when you go in for a screening test. The physician will write down a diagnosis so that your insurance company will pay it. So if they just wrote screening, it probably wouldn't be approved by a lot of insurers. So in our data set, we're not sure how many are screening, but when you see the numbers, you realize that it couldn't possibly represent an increase in the incidence of conditions related to CRC because it's just too large an increase. So we are assuming, especially because of the public health campaigns that have occurred in the past 10 years, that it's an increase in the number of people who are getting screened for cancer. I'll talk about the survey. The National Survey of Ambulatory Surgery was a national probability sample of freestanding and hospital-based ambulatory surgery centers and their patients. It was conducted from 1994 to 1996, and then again in 2006 by the National Center for Health Statistics of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The data itself were collected by the Census Bureau. In 1996, the NSAS data were collected on 125,000 visits from 488 facilities, and in 2006, it was about half the number of visits, but a little bit fewer facilities. The response rate in 96 was 80%, and in 2006, it was 74%. And the sampled records are weighted to produce nationally representative estimates. Within the NSAS data, the diagnosis and procedures are coded using the International Classification of Diseases, 9th Revision, Clinical Modification, ICD-9 CM codes, which were reported in the patient's medical record. And we have up to 7 diagnoses and 6 procedures. for the every year that the survey was conducted. In this study, the record would be included if either of these two codes were recorded in any one of the procedure fields. They probably shouldn't be in more than one of the procedure fields, but sometimes our data does show things like that. But we only counted the person one time, so it really does count number of people. So to address both the health services research issues, which is kind of the utilization connected with the numbers of providers and so on, I will talk about some numbers and percentage of the actual utilization. And for the epidemiologists, I will talk more about the rates per 10,000 population by age, sex, and region. And then I'll talk about expected source of payment. And I haven't put it on this slide, but then I'll talk a little bit about what kind of quality issues we have data on. So in 1996, there were 1.6 million colonoscopies performed in ambulatory surgery centers. And in 2006, there were 5.6 million. And just to give you an idea, this is an increase of 350%. All procedures increased by about 170%. So this isn't just because there are more providers or more ambulatory surgery. This is kind of a very large increase. And I'll get to the rest as I go on. One thing that really changed a lot was the proportion of colonoscopies provided in hospital-based compared to freestanding settings. And that is because the number of freestanding settings just went way up. It was covered by more insurance and became more popular, and it cut down on a lot of hospital utilization. And there were a lot of physicians and others who saw an opportunity to invest in it. So there really was a very large growth in the number of freestanding centers. These are numbers of colonoscopy by sex, and we see that there are increases across the board. I won't talk too much about these, the numbers. I have the testing for the rates, and this is for the different age groups. Notable is the 45 to 64-year-old age group, and although the guidelines do differ in accordance with who should get this test, almost all of them are over 40. So that group within the 45 to 64 would encompass most of the people who would be targeted for getting this screening test. And it would be more likely in the 65 and over that they would be receiving it actually for illness. Oh, and I did want to mention that about 90% of the colonoscopies are provided in an outpatient setting and only 10% in an inpatient setting. And if you're in an inpatient setting, it probably is to diagnose something rather than for any screening. They wouldn't do that in the hospital. And here are the region changes. As you'll see when I talk about the rates, you can't really tell just by looking at it which changes are significant, but it's obvious that there are increases across the board. So the rate of colonoscopies, this is what people like to use to see how much of the population is being reached by the test. It was 59.7 per 10,000 population in 96 and 189.3 per 10,000 population in 2006. Okay. So first I'll talk about the trends shown here. There was a significant increase for total and for males and for females between the 2 years. And then I'll talk about the 96 and 2006 separately. The 96, the darker bars, there was no significant difference between males and females. But in 2006, it was also the 164 per 10,000 population for males. Also was not significantly different from the 214. This is what I meant about how you really can't tell just by looking at it. And for all ages, and for those 45 to 64 and those 65 and over, the rates in 2006 are significantly higher than they were in 1996. But the rate for the 15 to 44-year-olds did not change. Those groups were quite small because it would not ordinarily be the case that you would have this test recommended if you were in those age groups. and within the darker bars for 96, the rates increased significantly with each successive age group. About in 2006, in the lighter bars, the 15 to 44-year-old rate was per 10,000 was significantly lower than the other groups, but the rates for the 45 to 64 and the 65 and over didn't differ significantly. This was published previously as part of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's MMWR, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly, as a quick stat, and I included it because it does show the ages more precisely that would be more likely to be targeted, which is the 50 years and over. For those 50 years and over, the rate did increase significantly over the period of time. But when you break it down, the 85-year and over group was not significantly different, but the other age groups were. And here's something about the regions. Only the Northeast in 1996 was higher than the West. All the others didn't differ. And in 2006, although it may appear otherwise, there were no significant differences by region. When we first saw that and saw the South, we thought, what is going on here? Because ambulatory surgery facilities are not distributed very equally across the country, so we thought it had something to do with the large number of providers in the South, but we didn't have to deal with that because it wasn't significant. In both years, the private insurance and Medicare were the two largest components. Notice how small the Medicaid is, only 3% both years. That's partly because of the nature of the Medicaid program, which would be mothers and children and so on, and a lot of younger people, but that's not all of the Medicaid people. And the self-pay was very small. We couldn't even report it separately. And when we were redoing the questionnaire in 2006, the idea that people couldn't pay was a totally alien idea to these providers. I mean, if you don't pay, you're not there. It's probably because it's, optional. A lot of the screening is optional. And I don't know what happens if you're sick. I guess you already land in the hospital before you get the test, or even worse than just landing in the hospital. So we had a couple measures of quality. There was a checklist that we put together after consulting with a lot of experts about what kinds of things could go wrong. Nobody wanted us to use complications, because that term in and of itself implied that, poor quality. So some of them could be totally natural, like nausea or hypertension, but not so much the bleeding. And we were very happy to see that 96% of the people had none of these bad effects, or effects that could be bad. And it was too small to break it down by how many had each of them, because this is a sample. So also with this one, this is another one, just a very general measure of quality. Almost everybody went home in both settings. And some people, when you start out, like with the cardiac catheterization, that's not in here, but we found this for all kinds of diagnoses and procedures, you're expected to go in the hospital. So there always would be somebody that legitimately might be sick enough that they could land in the hospital, and it's not because something went wrong. But anyway, we found that very few things showed up as resulting in your being admitted. As far as future ambulatory surgery data availability, you probably noticed that I said the survey was conducted in 94 to 96 in 2006. It won't be conducted again, but it has been put into one of our other surveys for the National Center for Health Statistics, which is the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, that already had gathered data on emergency rooms and outpatient departments. So it's been expanded not only to hospital-based ambulatory surgery centers, but also to freestanding. And the data should be available in 2012. It was first gathered for both settings in 2010. And then all kinds of ambulatory surgery, including colonoscopy, can be tracked on a yearly basis. And that might be especially important for something like colonoscopy and a lot of the other things related to screening, because the Affordable Care Act eliminated some co-pays in insurance plans, so that you would expect to see an increase due to that. There is a project being funded by the National Center for Health Statistics and another part of CDC, the National Center for Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, and the National Cancer Institute, to develop, pilot, and pretest a survey module which will gather additional data on colonoscopy. And this will help determine who got the test because of screening and who had some kind of illness that had to be looked into. And the module will be pretested in 2012 in 15 freestanding and 15 hospital-based centers. And this project will assess whether it's feasible to include it in a larger nationally representative sample of visits. And some of the questions they want to address are the number and rate, the kinds of things we looked at here, but most especially without symptoms, when the patient came in without symptoms. How do the annual rates vary by different kinds of patient characteristics? Does the screening vary by hospital-based and freestanding settings, and especially by payer? And to what extent are quality of care and reporting guidelines being met? So other important issues, just as we've seen with breast cancer recently and with prostate cancer screening, the guidelines are being looked at. They probably will be changed. They don't always agree across different sources anyway, so that may also be happening with colorectal cancer. And they don't always have evidence of the comparative effectiveness of the current and emerging screening methods, so they're looking for more and more evidence about that to guide what they come up with guidelines. And although colonoscopy was the gold standard, there was absence of randomized clinical trial evidence, or in the case of medical care, that's hard to get. So there's an absence of well-designed studies supporting the relationship to morbidity and mortality. And there is a need to find out whether patients screened and determined to have a problem actually do follow the doctor's recommendations and come back for the recommended future screenings. And if you need additional information, you should all have the handouts, but my contact information is on that. Did you want to do questions now?